Hey everybody, Jay Schlansky here from the Fifth Trooper Network. I just want to take a moment to thank you for checking out this show. Did you know that over at thefifthtrooper.com we have tons of other content, including blogs, other podcasts, all kinds of stuff. In addition, if you want access to exclusive content, you can join us on patreon.com/thefifthtrooper and join at any level and you'll get access to exclusive blog articles, access to our private Discord, and much more. So please check us out and thank you so much for all your support.
Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hello and welcome back to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. I'm Kyle. I'm here with Mike 1 and Mike 2.
Mike What's one up, gentlemen? And Mike two now, huh? Okay. We're numbering each other.
I did that to myself.
Okay. You did. Yeah. it immediately made me think of Cat in the Hat, thing one and thing two.
Mm.
Depending on how many beers we've had, that is our personality. So.
Flying kites indoors.
No comment.
Not something that would actually work, in fact, because there's no wind inside. But
you clearly have never turned the AC on.
Anyway, so we're not going to talk about kites or Dr. Seuss today. We are going to talk about Star Wars Legion. More specifically, we're going to talk about Delta Squat because we got a card for them.
Yeah, we did. So
that's exciting. And then we're going to talk about, last week we talked about gun lines and sort of how to gun line. So this week we're going to talk about how to skew, which seems to be not necessarily the opposite of gun line, but certainly like, you know, a significantly different way to play. So what we are not going to talk about, at least this week, is the whole Worlds announcement and various communications around that. We promise we will talk about it at some point, but we want to, like any you know, topic that's highly relevant to the community, we want to make sure that we have all the information surrounding said topic before we do like a full proper discussion on it. And currently we don't. So I know some people might think that, but we don't. So we will do that.
Your jets, people.
Yeah. So we are punting that, not indefinitely, but also not this week. So if you're here for that, I apologize. I hope that you stick around for Delta Squad and SKUs, but I'm glad that you're already at least here because that means you've downloaded or listened already. So for purposes of stat tracking.
Right. Click acquire. Yeah.
No. Seriously though. All right. Let's talk about Delta Squad.
Yeah. So I guess did we talk about Clone Commandos last week? Was that a last week thing?
It wasn't last week. It was before that, but yes, we have gone through the Clone Commando unit card.
Cool. Yes, we've got Delta Squad, which is also a Clone Commando unit card, turns out.
Yes.
Yeah, should we just hit that from the top?
Let's, yeah. Good. Well, you guys go ahead.
Yeah. So I actually thought this was funny because this feels clearly not intended to me, because it's also like exposed some other stuff. But
Hunter
specifically. So Clone Commandos Delta Squad is unique. And the unique part of that is the name Clone Commandos. So the way the rules are presently written is that if you have Delta Squad in your army, you may not take another squad of Clone Commandos. So the only squad of Clone Commandos you can have is Delta Squad. That also apparently goes, because the Hunter thing is, I think, more funny, because if you actually have an alternate language Hunter, it doesn't work that way, because Hunter is a proper noun, and in other languages, I believe it's like either just Hunter or like I think somebody said it was like Monsieur Hunter or something.
Yeah.
But Hunter, the upgrade card, is a different word.
Yep.
Right. So anyways.
It's funny. It's extra funny in that instance because the actual CRB language calls out uniqueness across card types, which is a strange call out to me, because that's never, like, I can't think of a current situation in the game where that's relevant. But and, I mean, it could be if at some point they release a character that's like, you know, a unit version of Gideon Hask or whatever. But yeah, for now, the fact that it calls out like uniqueness across card types makes it even more clear that like technically it does currently apply to Hunter.
Plo Koon incoming.
Right. Like once we get unit Plo Koon or whatever.
Yeah.
I think silliness aside of weird rules interactions that will obviously be corrected.
Yeah. That will probably be a day one patch. I'd be shocked if it's not similar to the Dark Trooper personnel thing. Like
I think I would like to talk about Delta Squad today as if you could take them with two other clone commandos, because it does dramatically change the package.
Because if you can't do that, I think you just don't take them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
So let's talk about the differences real quick. So the differences between Delta Squad and regular clone commandos is Delta Squad has infinite courage instead of courage two.
A big deal on these guys in particular.
Certainly a big deal. Yeah. Instead of target one, they have target two. Also, like, really great is a fire support starter. Having like an extra aim token off the jump, really great. They have an extra training slot. And perhaps the biggest change. Well, sorry, there's two changes. We're gonna do the biggest one last. Their carbine is not a black and a white, it's two black at range two. But the biggest change is they have the additional keyword of independent recover, which dramatically changes how a clone commando can operate on the table, because you can get their config gun, whatever you want. I guess it's an armament technically.
Yep.
Back for free. You can get their shielded back for free. And obviously if you've got like an HQ uplink on them, you can get that back for free too, just by not giving them an order. And if you've got two other clone commandos, you'll have three support tokens in the bag probably. So you have like a reasonable chance of drawing them pretty immediately if you have any form of, you know, order control.
It does feel like a little bit of a non-bow in that situation, because your other clone commandos need orders to proc target.
No doubt.
Might have uplinks for that same recover efficiency, but yeah, it's definitely strong. I mean, the timing of this recover is also relevant, because as you noted, it refreshes the shields. So like, you know, if your opponent gets their shield down at the end of the previous turn, and then they just independent recover, and that shield goes right back up at the start of the turn. Like, you don't have to wait for them to go. So
it's very master of the force barrier-ish in its execution there. When you're finished, it's passive.
Notably, they could also, unlike master of the force, I guess in theory barrier could give you similar utility here, but you can recover again on your turn. So yes, you could potentially get two uses out of your shield every turn with these guys.
And I also think, like, throw in offensive push on these guys. Like, you give them an order, right? And they get two aim tokens. They move. You trigger offensive push. They get a third aim token. They shoot their range four gun. And then you just don't give them an order the next turn. They get their gun. They get push. They get all the stuff back. Like, it could be, I mean, I don't know, three aim tokens that you can kind of like recharge a couple times every game for kind of free. You know, offensive push isn't seen a lot these days because it is kind of a pricey upgrade if you don't have ways to get free. Like, most of the places that we see offensive push get taken is when you can recover for free.
Yep.
And
there's very few units that can do that.
Yeah, and
especially
like
off of the command card.
Command cards, yeah.
Yeah,
totally. And these guys get three aim tokens, and they are a clone trooper. They can share their tokens, you know, so it's not like those tokens are going to go to waste. So
it also means that the target two, that it essentially gives them free pierce if they have an order, because you still keep your target one for the reroll. You don't have a large dice pool. They're high quality dice. You're probably not rerolling more than two with the reds. So you almost have that automatic pierce one, and it gives you a little bit of a built-in buffer.
Yeah, seems like a very consistent unit. I think my only hesitation on these guys is that 25 points over the standard Clone Commandos is a lot.
It is a
like,
lot.
Like, these guys cost more than a full arc squad. I'm not really convinced at this juncture that Clone Commandos are better than full arcs if they were the same price, right? But obviously, most Clone Commandos are significantly cheaper than full arcs. So,
right. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see here.
I think it'll also depend on whatever kind of balance changes happen to like Jedi units around them. You know, we've seen Gar do pretty well for quite a while. You know, obviously EXD kind of overshadowed it at Adepticon, but it's not like they have been lying on the back burner. And should any changes come through, that's going to impact just how much that 100 points matters.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that also in kind of that realm, I definitely could see Clone Commandos, like, in Delta Squad kind of being taken in, like, Jedi-less lists with squishy commanders. Like, whether that's a generic Clone Commander or Rex or Cody, who are both very easy to kill overall. Having somebody that you can promote in your army that's infinite courage is, like, not a negligible factor.
Yeah.
You know. So it strikes me that, like, this unit is just excellent at making sure that your list gets the objectives done that it needs to. That's actually been my experience with Commando so far overall, is that they're, like, okay at killing stuff, and they're, like, very great at not dying, but they're really good at just getting the objectives done, which is something that Republic traditionally has not been good at.
Is that simply because they're so hard to kill? Hard to finish off, rather?
They're so hard to finish off, and they just, you can put them wherever you need them. It's like, okay, there's boxes over here. They go over here. And they don't really need the support that other clones do, you know? You put them behind a wall, and as long as they've got their complete the mission token, like, you're feeling pretty good. Like, if they get clipped by a unit that is rolling, like, 10 dice, you're like, and you fail save, you just blow Katarn armor and move on with your life, you know? And the other thing that I found, so I've been, like, playtesting with these a lot lately. And, like, you would think that snipers would be sort of good against them because they only can, like it sort of gets around Katarn armor.
Because they're only killing one model at a time anyway.
Exactly. So, yeah. Like, but the shielded thing is, like, is real.
Yeah.
It's, like, a real anti-sniper thing.
It's mm-hmm. heavy cover plus a shield. I mean, we talked before about how range troopers were kind of sniper resistant, and this is just a better form of armor one because the crit still doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, unlike armor one or low profile, it actually works against Cassian.
I had Iden in the list that I was, like, trying to fight against this, and I'm like, well, I actually need two crits. You know, like, I need three aim tokens, and unlike Cassian, Iden has kind of a tough time getting to three. You know,
yeah.
They're actually pretty resilient against snipers. I was surprised, and for their cost, like, that's great. You know, so I don't know.
And one of the things that Delta does that kind of specializes that the Clone Commandos generic do not is if you're talking about a solo intercept point, they can't be suppressed off of it, because, you know, you tend to leave squishy activations back on that safe point. And there's actually a fair number of larger suppression lists that we're seeing with the Black Suns. You can see it with the Range Troopers. And you're going to have to designate actual resources to fight these guys off of the home point, because you can't just put force suppression and say you're not scoring.
You know, yeah.
It's just not a thing.
I definitely have, I played against Range Troopers a couple times and with them so far. People are going to actually have a plan for suppression and how they're going to mitigate it. I think moving forward, it's been kind of a real eye opener, and in that regard, the amount of units that I've got on, like, 8 suppression tokens or whatever, it's like, you know, we're not counting for objectives now, guys.
Every turn.
Yeah. Padme has been a nice way out of it, but you can only do that once a game, and the suppression really stacks up quite quickly. So.
Yeah, I've been playing Bossk triple range troopers with a suppressive gun, and you can fit some DTs as well, and you can just tell an opposing army you're not playing the game.
Yeah,
it's been really effective. I'm excited to break it out in a couple weeks.
Great. I mean, you can get up to what, like 16 to 17 suppression a turn from range 4?
Yes. And I can do it every single turn.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's like a mastery evil bomb that you're dropping every turn except from range 4.
While I'm still killing things because they're larger dice pools.
Right.
I've been playing the extra guy in the range trooper squads. I'm not, first of all, they're basically range 4 short trooper range 3 pools without the critical, which it's staggering how different that is overall. Every time I roll a range trooper pull, I'm like, this feels like it should be better. Just because you like minus one because you're not surging. And I haven't found a really great way to get surge tokens on them yet. Like they don't really carry aggressive tactics super well because it's not super easy to get orders to them. Yeah, like I don't know. Like I've kind of messed around with Palpatine and the idea of like force guidance, but
It's awkward. I mean, you could do like Krennic with a relay from a Death Trooper, but that's kind of an expensive combo just for that.
Yeah, it is.
And you're putting Krennic in the list, so you're taking 70 points that could have been something better.
I do think that, like,
I think Krennic is a little underappreciated, but I see what you mean.
A little hyperbole.
Yeah.
I do think like Veers is like pretty good with them because aim tokens are like roughly equivalent to surge tokens as far as they're concerned. But you know, it is actually obnoxious how many aims you can get with them with no support whatsoever. You're just like, yeah, I'm gonna stand here, I'm gonna aim because I'm already in range, and then I'm gonna get another aim, and then I'm just gonna shoot. And it's just like, yeah, man, it's 7 black, 2 white.
Yeah, 2 aims is your baseline.
Right. Like that's without an officer anything. You know, I think I stacked up like 4 or 5 aim tokens on one unit with coordinated fire, which, you know, the coordinated fire does that, but it's just like at range 4, it's just like, yeah.
Back in 2019.
Right.
I will say one other option for converting their surges besides aggressive tactics. I know you are anti-mortar, but fire supporting with mortars. You can set up some builds where it's a little bit easier to get orders through mortars than it is to get them to the range troopers. And then also you don't have to take aggressive tactics. So, yeah. Now you're also like quote unquote wasting us. You're actually wasting 2 suppression there by doing that because you're fire supporting with a suppressive weapon. But you're converting a critical in that situation. So,
and to be fair, it means you're dropping from 14 to 12. Suppression that you're doing.
You're right. Yeah. Like maybe there's a little bit diminishing returns on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that makes the range troopers good, though, I think, is their ability to close the distance, which the mortar doesn't really, if the mortar is fire supporting it often, I don't know, they got to be pretty close to you at that point. I will say being able to spur and give yourself cover in addition to armor feels pretty, I don't know. It's been a weird feeling as to how that works. Just kind of, it's like, yeah, I would love to have heavy cover. I will spur myself and go my normal distance. You know, like,
I mean, are they the first unit? So the short answer to this is no, at least briefly. But other than Operative Vader, who had spur for a while, the first trooper unit that can actually give themselves cover with the suppression from spur, because Dubaks obviously have spur, but they don't get cover from suppression. So
yeah, it's like just a, kind of like a downside for them. But for the range troopers, it's like I definitely there were multiple times in the games that I played them that I've spurred not to go faster, but strictly to just give them cover.
Yep.
And it lets you take angled shots that you normally wouldn't get because you can stand in the open and cancel 2 hits.
Yeah.
And if you've already taken the shot, you've probably weakened the squad, so your return fire isn't even going to be the full pool.
Especially as most range 4 pools are pretty weak.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
If they exist at all, right?
If they exist at all. And the ones that do exist that are small, like you can't really mitigate them with their defenses anyways for the most part. Because it's mostly critical stuff, right?
Like Delta Squad.
Yeah. I mean, Delta Squad is still probably pushing two every time, but just because it's like red dice, right? But yeah, I don't know.
All right. Should we move on to talking about skis?
Yeah. And I think one of the things we should do at the start is talk about the different kinds of skews, because I know a lot of casts will use skew as a catch-all term for something that's not a gun line, but there are multiple ways to set up an alternative list style.
And yeah, I mean, what does that even mean? How would you define skew? What does that mean to you?
So to me, skew is anything that bucks the norm or bucks the trend to specialize in one facet of the game better than anything else that is an all-rounder list. So if you go back through Legion's history, you could make an argument that a gun line is the traditional style of play. And what that does very well is, like you talked about last week, it's hyper efficient. It throws lots of dice. It forces the opponent to react and it kills them. A skew list can take that and kind of flip it on its head, where you could do something like a mobility objective skew, where you force objectives like bombing run and breakthrough. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Or you can do an aggro skew, where I do nothing but hit W, run you over, and kill you before you can kill me. And while these lists are hyper efficient at one aspect of the game, they struggle in others. You know, the mobility lists are a little bit weaker, and the aggro lists don't really have too much objective play sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for me, I think my concept of what is and isn't a skew has changed over Legion's lifetime. I think that there was a point in the game where we would have, and I don't think we do now, considered like Blizzard Force a skew. In that, you know, like speeder bike skews were like that, the game that used to be a thing. And I don't really think that is a skew in the same way anymore. I think the way that I would like to paint the skew conversation is that most lists that I think we're going to talk about in this category are all in on a proactive approach to the game, whereas most other lists tend to be able to take a much more reactive stance, like a gun line or whatever. And I think I would put Blizzard Force in that regard too. Like, can it be proactive? Yes, but it doesn't need to be, and it's actually very good at being reactive. And I think when we talk about things like Ewoks or, you know, Wookiee skews or, you know, Ollie's list that he won Worlds with, like all of those lists are very proactive lists that come with their own game plan that if they don't get to execute their game plan are actually pretty fragile and can fall apart very quickly. That's how I think about skews now. I think as the game has progressed and we've kind of gotten more like deep into what metas have evolved into.
So you're talking, I think, very specifically about aggro skews, or at least what I would consider aggro skews, because if you're talking about being proactive, right, you're the one that's like setting the conditions for the fight.
I think if you're playing an objective skew, I would also put that in the proactive. Just because I think most, like, they might be not aggressively proactive, but their game plan for the game, whether it's bombing run or breakthrough, even those might be conservative game plans, they have a very like proactive plan as far as like how they're going to approach to get the game, how they're going to play it. They're not showing up to a table and wildly adjusting their plan depending on what they're playing against.
So would you say that a skew is a list that actively sets its win condition versus a list that reacts to the other list win condition?
I think so. I think there's obviously like no game of Legion can you not react to your opponent in some capacity, right? But I think overall, I think lists that fit in the skew category are lists that like I'm very much either trying to set up the turn zero, so it's exactly what I want. That's why we often see them bidding for their objective deck or their deployments or whatever. I think pretty much across the board, SKUs will bid for their objective decks, whether they're like objective SKUs or not. You know, melee SKUs, speeder SKUs, any of them. The turn zero, it feels far more critically important to their game plan than a list that does not fit in this category.
So, yeah. Sorry. So real quick, you said earlier that you didn't necessarily think that like speeder SKUs were SKUs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not consider those like objective SKUs?
I think it depends, right? I think some of them could be. I think if we like look back on the game's history, at the time that speeder SKUs existed, with probably the exception of Blizzard Force, I would say yeah, they were pretty skewy, and that they were trying to force Bombing Run and Breakthrough, and that was like really their win conditions. And I would say that, you know, like if we're taking Blizzard Force as an example, Blizzard Force had a pretty pretty good objective deck for what it was doing. But while, you know, like Bombing Run and Breakthrough are good, they weren't even the two best objectives of the deck. You know, they were like Hostage Exchange and KP, arguably, were better for Blizzard if you knew what you were doing, and depending on the table. And those are very, I mean, Key Positions is obviously like a much more conservative objective, and Hostage was just like leaning on the fact that Vader's broken mofo, you know?
That was my favorite part, by the way, about playing Blizzard, is when people would like ban Breakthrough and Bombing Run to play like KP or something, and I'd be like, all right.
Well, and that's sort of why I think like people got faked into being like, oh, Blizzard's like a speeder SKU list, right? Like they're trying to force Bombing Run and Breakthrough. There's four speeders in it. Like obviously, like that's their game plan, right? And it just it yeah. I mean, those were probably their worst objectives. They're definitely that list's worst objectives in today's meta, where they can't avoid taking damage on early turns from all the arcs and the range troopers that will exist and the clone commandos and all that. So yeah, anyways, we don't need to go down the like Blizzard Force rabbit hole, but so I think the short answer to your question is, can you have a speeder SKU? Yes. I think a speeder SKU these days looks like Ollie's list, not Blizzard's Force.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and Ollie's, I guess what I'm getting back to is Ollie's list is a very aggro list. Having attempted to play speeder SKUs that are like not aggro lists, particularly with, for example, Staps, I don't know that a speeder objective SKU is nearly as effective or as good as it used to be, simply because Bombing Run is not a good objective for you anymore. Certainly not against the defensive list.
Right.
Because you can't just, you know, it's on you to like engage with your opponent, even if you score all three bombs quickly with your speeders, because they can just slow walk their bombs to the end zone and still win unless you go after them. So, you know, Breakthrough's a little different because you can play like a high activation list and still be in a situation where you're setting the tone. But Bombing Run, that's definitely not true of anymore, and people have realized that. And I found when I was playing against people with three Staps or something similar, my gun line opponents would be just like, all right, yeah, let's play Bombing Run. And I'd be like, why not Breakthrough? Let's play Breakthrough instead. But,
I do think that part of that is how we have learned to play Bombing Run over the years. I think if you want to play Bombing Run in your speeder decks, you still can. I think you have to be far more aggressive with landing your bombs than we have traditionally been. Like, right, like in the Bombing Run matchup, generally you're like, okay, speeders, go drop the bomb safely, turn around, and, you know, if we need to engage, you can, otherwise run away, right? But I think nowadays, if you're playing speeders and you're playing Bombing Run, you have to A, out activate your opponent, and B, you actually have to land a bomb that does damage and scores at the same time if you want to win that objective.
Yeah, one of the things that we've seen change over the last year and a half, 2 years of play, is there's much more mobility to gun lines as well. You know, we weren't playing full arcs at the time when triple stabs was a thing. So now I'm still moving, I'm still getting my aim, and I've got my sharpshooter for your free cover. We didn't see the speed 3 EXD moves at that time. Like, there are counters that didn't exist before. And since we've seen those counters evolve, we also went to the 4-card battle flop. And having to throw that fourth objective in there that is your fourth best is a major difference and a major downgrade from just getting, I'm getting 3 of my favorite, when you don't have to worry about it as much. And those kind of came out at the same time.
They did, and the new tiebreak, right? Mm-hmm. And I've found Mike one in the situation that you're talking about, where you're blowing something up with your bombs, at least against the defensive lists. You're often just basically trading one of your speeder units to like strip their dodge tokens at the end of the turn. I know that's a little bit hyperbole.
It is,
but that's kind of been my experience, right?
Now,
if you can catch like their entire army,
you have to
with 3 red.
Yeah,
then maybe that's one thing. But you know, even if you're missing like a few units, it's generally not. It having done that when I was prepping Geonosian Staps before Worlds and trying to make that work, and having done that exact thing where I like rush the stap in at the end of the turn and blow up a bomb that also scores, I found it to be like really underwhelming for the expected payoff.
I think the big thing is that you're not going to kill a unit. You are going to lose your stap, right? You got to do it turn one or turn two. Because really what that is doing is it's softening up the enemy army, and you're trading your stat A to like score a safe objective, and to be basically, hopefully, like, even if you're attacking clones, on average you're gonna do like 8 wounds
if you hit everything,
which you should be able to do reasonably. You know, I don't know. I think it is reasonable to hit at least 6 units against most clones with a bomb.
Yeah, that's fair. But you also need to be in a position to have follow up, right? After you soften them up.
A lot of
speeder SKUs tend to have units that are like high on mobility but low on murder. Mm-hmm. and you know, that's what I found. At least maybe my problem is that I was playing Geonosians and trying to do this with Geonosians.
Geonosians are bad.
Yeah. But like I'd do the stab thing. You know, I'd blow everything up. I'd kill a reasonable amount of things, and then I'd be like, "All right, I'm going to follow up with my Geonosians." And then they would just slap them like a wet noodle, and I'd be like, "All right. Well, so much for softening up, you know. I softened them up from steel down to iron basically." Anyway, I'm not saying you can't play a speeder skew. But the pure mobility speeder skews are definitely not effective anymore, in my opinion. You need something else going for you besides just the fact that like you're notionally very good at mobility objectives. That's not enough anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the game has also become far more offensive in nature, as far as, you know, if a unit that you have gets shot and you're not playing like clones or pikes, you should expect it to die. You know, like,
if you have a quote unquote
normal unit, you should, if you get shot by a full dice pool from another unit, your expectation should be either that unit will not be there or most of it will be gone as a result of that shot. That goes for speeders too, right? Like, you know, I think when speeders used to be kind of the name of the game in the skew house, that wasn't true, right? You could like get away with like only losing a bike or only taking 2 wounds on your first bike and have that feel pretty averagey, you know? Yeah. But if you get shot by ARC troopers or, you know,
BX
Ranger
droids.
Troopers or BX droids or whatever, like, you're definitely losing one bike. and you're probably losing both.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's just to that shot.
Right. And that's just that shot, right? Yeah. Your defensive tech is gone because your cover has been stripped because there's sharpshooter everywhere, or blast if you're playing against the XD and they've got, you know, B2s or whatever. And there's just those white saves do not hold up in those conditions.
No, sure don't.
No.
Not even with the new dice.
Yo, I've been playing with the dice that I got at Adepticon, and I swear they roll way worse than normal dice.
That was my feeling on the smoky white dice too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just my imagination. It could be a perception thing, because white dice are not good to begin with, right? You should expect them to fail. They're
only worse than red? Come on.
They're 50% worse. I don't know. They look really cool.
They do.
And I'm sure that statistically they are roughly the same, but it definitely doesn't feel that way.
No.
All right.
So if you can't run, I shouldn't say can't, if it's harder to run a mobility SKU, what do you pivot to?
Yeah, what other types of SKUs?
You move to what I've traditionally called a W key list or an aggro SKU.
Okay. What is an aggro SKU, Mike?
So an aggro SKU is something that essentially tries to steamroll your opponent. It surveys the map. It figures out the weak point in both the terrain and the soft spot of your opponent's list, and then it dives into it. And it kills faster than your opponent's list can kill you through some combination of like a delivery system like a bus, a range system like EXD, or just enough wounds like a triple magnet idea. And it just, or Wookiee idea, and it gets into your face and removes some of your tools. Traditionally, we've seen a lot of aggro SKUs be associated with melee units. You know, we saw the Wookiee bus concept from a few years ago. We've seen the Wookiee Battle Force now. Triple Magna Assage was a thing for a small moment. And what they do is they just get into melee and they tie you up and they take away a lot of the shooting ability of the traditional lists. Or you just run something like Black Sun, where as soon as you get to range one, you don't even need to get melee because the opponent is dead.
Yeah, for sure. I also think one of the things that I think kind of earmarks the ones that are in the game right now is that I think the thing that's really turned them up to 11 and made them kind of what I would consider to be the premier version of how to skew in this game is that they're also incredibly efficient with all of their units now, whether that's Ewoks or Wookiees. Or you know, Black Sunny stuff. I would say Black Sun are probably the least efficient, but the Ewoks and Wookiees are incredibly efficient, like per wound you're putting on the table that your opponent has to kill. Both of those lists deliver what I would call like a dice check before you even walk up to the table. You either have the dice to deal with that SKU or you don't. And if you don't, you kind of just lose.
And you're talking about defensive efficiency there, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I think there's some offensive efficiency that we could probably talk about. I don't really have the numbers on that other than, you know, it gets weird once like models get taken out of squads and stuff. But I mean, you know, when we're talking about Wookiee units that have between 9 and 12 health, or Ewoks with 6 to 8 health and low profile, and they don't strip their suppression at the end of the turn, so low profile is like always on. Like it's a lot of wounds.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of an aggro SKU, I kind of think of something that asks them a question of your opponent's list, and if their answer is no, then you know your SKU is gonna work basically. You talked about melee SKUs, right? Where it's like, does my opponent have enough firepower to deal with this before I reach their lines? If the answer is no, then you're in good shape. Armor SKUs are similar, right? If my opponent doesn't have enough impact or anti-armor options, you know, like a double dark trooper, right, is one example. I think Tempest Force, obviously, triple ATST. I think the double bus list are kind of both an aggro and an armor SKU at the same time, because obviously those buses are big enough to where you can use them to screen. You can use them to screen for your other units, like use them as mobile line of sight blockers, but you can also, of course, since they're transports, put your other units in them, right? So even though the buses aren't themselves the ones doing all the damage, they're still like essentially veiling the rest of your army in that armor keyword.
They're your engine.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the buses are weird in that, I don't know. In my head, I don't really look at them as like an aggro unit. Honestly, I think the buses specifically, I think, are maybe the most unique unit in the game that is maybe put on the table right now. I think that there are a bunch of units that like kind of can fill a similar role to the bus. But the bus is weird, and then it's like a mobile building that your opponent can't walk through. like they can't climb over it, right?
Right.
So like, it's, I guess it's aggressive in a different way. It's in that you really can use the terrain to limit where your opponent can go on the board. Like once the bus is dropped off its payload, like the buses that we're seeing, like, are not really running guns for the most part.
No,
you know,
yeah, they're just getting in the way.
They're just getting in the way, and if you haven't had that done to you, it's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have impact, it's actually like pretty hard to deal with. Even if you have like a semblance of impact, but not a ton of it, it's actually pretty hard to deal with because the gonk droid is a real thing.
Yeah, you need some sort of almost some kind of pierce behind the impact just to make sure that any hits that you're forcing through are actually being received. Because if the bus spikes one save roll and all of a sudden the gonk flips back the shields, so you're like, wow, I just threw 17 dice to deal a wound and now I have to do it again.
Yeah, and I think that general premise of like delivering damage to whatever is aggressively kind of aggroing onto you in these matchups, if you take the opportunity to deliver the damage and you fail to deliver the damage, in almost all of the matchups, like, you're going to lose, which is why in a lot of like the bus specific matchups, you see people not actually shooting the bus, because if they take the opportunity to shoot the bus a couple times and they never actually kill it, they haven't actually done anything, right?
Yep.
Whereas, you know, if you're shooting a Wookiee unit, you know, a Wookiee units are sort of similar in that, like, if you do two wounds to a Wookiee unit, like, you've done nothing but turn tenacity on.
You've
made them more effective, right? And like, and the other thing is that if you deal three wounds to a Wookiee unit, like, they're moving towards you, like you said. And so you've gotta, like, if you're not dealing damage in larger increments than that, like, it's almost not worth doing it at all to some extent.
And that's your concept of a dice check.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, 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 yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that the Wookiee skews versus the Ewoks are more difficult to deal with, just out of curiosity? Because one does have that, I'll say, larger potency. You know, let the Wookiees do more damage. So your dice check, is that more important at that stage?
I think that's a really good question. I think my general experience thus far has been that the Wookiees require more of a dice check because they tend to be a couple things. First off, you often can't shoot the Ewoks because they're under reckless diversion, so the amount of dice you have outside of melee sort of matters a lot less. Secondly, the Wookiees just do so much more damage once they get there. Like if you rip two out of the eight Wookiee squads charging at you before they get there, it's a really big deal. And the other thing is, it's one of those things where, like, okay, you kill one Wookiee squad, you've killed like 12% of the things that are going to hit you. You've killed two Wookiee squads, you've killed like 25. If you kill one Ewok squad, you're like, I killed like 7% of their list, right? Yeah. You know, I killed two Ewok squads. It's just your dice aren't doing the same work in those matchups. So I feel like the kind of tactics you have to take to deal with each list is like pretty significantly different. Like with the Ewoks, if you don't have like a melee unit that can just butcher them once they get there, that's sort of where you need the dice. Like if you don't have full arcs or, you know, BX droids with swords or Magna Guard, or, you know, Jedi aren't very good at it, but they can kind of be a little bit Swiss Army knifey, and that force push can get you out of a lot of sticky situations. But I just think the tools you need are pretty different, I think, in those matchups.
Yeah, and that was kind of a leading question, because I think you could make an argument that the Ewoks have kind of replaced speeders as your objective skew, because like you just talked about, your dice check doesn't really matter there. It's can you play the objective better than they can?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely like, man, they're like trying to like force intercept. You know, it's like, what are we doing here, guys? But they're really good at it, right? And they're trying to force breakthrough, because that's their thing.
Yeah. Basically, the question the Wookiees are asking is, can you kill enough Wookiees before they murder you?
The Wookiees sort of don't care about the objective. Like, right. It's there, and they're good at it, right?
You can't score if you're dead.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're good at it because they kill it. They like force you to, if the objective forces you to be in a certain place so that they can kill you.
Right. Whereas the Ewoks are just like, I'm going to be able to score with enough things by the end of the game, because you're just not going to be able to kill enough things.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very interesting. I like that contrast as an objective skew versus an aggro skew, even though they're both in theory like melee, quote unquote, lists.
On paper, they look very similar, right? And when somebody lines up across the table from you, like, I think similar things go through people's head. But like, when it comes down to it, in order to win against the Wookiee list, you have to kind of kill it in totality.
Yep.
If you want to win against an Ewok list, you have to kill like half of it, generally, because it's much more about winning on the objectives. And they're actually not that great at killing your stuff.
They're not.
Most times.
But don't get me wrong. Like when the Axe guys get in there and they're like wrecking your stormtroopers, like they can definitely kill some things. But like Ewoks are kind of,
they don't have as many teeth.
Yeah. I hear the dentistry on Endor just really isn't cut at these days.
Yeah, I mean, they're not ripping arms off like the Wookiees are, right? Which is thematic. But yeah, it's like often if an Ewok unit gets into melee with another random unit, that random unit is going to do better off punching them than they would shooting them.
Yes.
Even if it's just like a normal core unit sometimes. So
100%, because they're stripping 2 to 3 off the top of any ranged attack, right? So like once it's weird, because like when the Ewoks get into melee, they lose their defense.
They lose their defense. Yeah.
You know? And all of a sudden just like aim punching them is, you know, when they're only on like t-shirt saves, they just start dying in droves. You might not outright kill units, because most units only roll like one die per model in melee. But you know, I guess if you're like playing B1s, that is not as effective as a strategy.
I mean, your problem is you're playing B1s in the current meta.
So. Yeah.
Hey man, best list in the meta plays two.
Two. Yep. That's right. Exactly. That's two B1s. Yeah.
Yeah.
B1's good. Nerf B1s.
Yeah. Yeah,
make them 48 points.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, well, what about, so we've talked a lot about the different types of skews. Obviously, this question is going to be very dependent on which type of skew you're running, but let's talk about the how, like how to play a skew, how to skew, basically. Once you've created a skew, like what do you do when you're actually on the table?
This sounds really dumb. You do your win con, and I think you don't deviate from that when you... Can you give me an example list, and I'll just spitball from there?
Well, I know if you had one. Let me riff off, I think, where you're going. I think the first like 15 times you play a SKU list, you should just endeavor to do the thing that you built it to do. And whether if it's like a Wookiee list or something that's like you're all in on the aggro, maybe it's Black Sun. Just try and run your opponent over. Like, don't for the most part, even like really look at the turn zero stuff overall. You know, well, that's like something that comes later. I feel like once you figured out like how to do that, then you can kind of work in like how each objective changes your game plan, right? And to that effect, like which objectives you should even have in your deck, right? Because not all aggressive SKUs have the same objectives. They're mostly the same, but you know, if you told me that there would be experimental droids players putting Bombing Run in their deck 4 months ago, I would have told you were crazy. You know, but that's a thing that happens now, apparently. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where I think you got to design the list, build it, do the thing, and play it out, and figure out how you do the thing that you're doing the best, whether that is an aggressive thing or... I think if you're doing an objective skew, you start with the objectives and maybe move to the aggression later.
Yeah, that's basically what I was getting at, is that if you've built your list to do these two things very well, like let's just say Ewoks playing Intercept and Breakthrough, you force those and then you play it. You know, you look across the table and if you see an 8 activation gunline, you do everything that you can to force Breakthrough because you can just toilet bowl them. Or if you see something that's a little bit less kill powery, you can force your Intercept and you just know that you're going to score more than them. You play your RD, but you just play to your conditions. You know, I think a lot of the prep of playing with a SKU comes in that almost like turn negative one when you're actually doing list building and prep. Similar to what Mike said, I think your battle deck is your most important part of your SKU and knowing how exactly you play every card that flips over. You might not have to be the best at making your turn 5 tactical decisions, but if you've set yourself up in turn 0 and turn negative 1 to not have to make those decisions, you've already won the game. And a lot of these lists can snowball very quickly. So you just have to put yourself in that position to do the snowball.
Yeah, and I also think that perhaps maybe even more importantly than most lists, because you're bidding, you also need to be able to identify when you should be red player. I think that that's very important. Most lists that aren't SKUs don't really get that option a ton because they often don't have a bid and they're kind of at the mercy of whoever they're playing against choosing. But I definitely think that, you know, if you're in kind of like a mirror matchup or even a matchup against, like, let's say you're, you know, playing Wookiees and you get matched up against Blizzard Force, like the Blizzard Force deck really isn't that bad for you. You might just want to take the table edge and last deployment, right? So I think identifying and knowing what objectives you like can and can't play is also, I think, pretty big there. And because some objectives will result in you just losing the game if you're playing an objective skew. The aggressive skew is a little different because you can... sometimes the W key just gets you out of it, right? But if you're playing, if you're like an Ewok player and like, you know, you end up in like a really weird situation with like, I don't know, let's say recover the supplies and they've got a bunch of clone commandos, like you might want to reconsider.
So basically, know what your plan is going in and know how best to utilize turn zero to execute that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power, especially when you're playing a SKU. Like knowledge of your setup, your you know, your sequencing for your first couple turns.
Yeah, and I think it does go back to like, we're obviously not going to be able to cover it today, and it would be like a, I don't know, we could do like a mini series on turn zero. And you know, I think Mike, you used to
go,
do like
say you can go to my YouTube channel and I have like 35 episodes on that.
Yeah. A turn zero deal. And that's just like probably beyond the scope of this conversation, but it is essential to these lists.
All right, any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Don't play SKUs. It's not how I like to play the game. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't listen to Mike, number one.
Yeah. SKUs are fun.
They are.
They're fun for some people.
And everybody enjoy your May 4th tournaments because there's like 700,000 happening across the country.
Yo, for real. Yeah, we're going up to Philly.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, we're going to go hang out at Top Deck. It's going to be great. I think there's a tournament in Richmond going on. And I'm sure that there's tournaments all over the place. But yeah, I gotta get Kyle to come up to Philly with us. So we'll see.
We'll see. That's a hard sell for just a local, but.
You haven't been to Top Deck yet.
We don't have to go to Chinatown. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's not that I don't want to go. It's just a hard convince for the permission. Let's put it that way.
That's fair.
All I'm going to say, Kyle, is last time I went to Top Deck, I tied for first because we didn't have enough rounds. And I walked away with 6 boxes of Phase 2 clones. It's my prize.
Yeah, I got like $200 of store credit for the last win there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pays for the gas.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, we are the Notorious Scoundrels. I'm Kyle.
I'm Mike.
I'm Mike too.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.